C1AP. Number 21A.
Now, Mrs. Eddy continues the text, but what she is going to say is the interpretation of Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. I quickly read you the verse 4 so that you can see that Mrs. Eddy interprets that. The Revelator says, "And God shall wipe away all tears." Can you get the tone of love? Huh? "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Can you see the tone of compensation now, the tone of love that says it all depends on your consciousness? If you have a consciousness of truth, then you have the universe of love, because then with that truth you only begin to see the harmony of the universe and no more all the pains and the tears and what has she here, and death, but all these things shall have passed away. Mrs. Eddy says on line 23, she explains that this is scriptural authority for concluding that such a recognition of being is and has been possible to men in the present state of existence, namely, that we can become conscious here and now. You get the tone of truth, that consciousness here and now love, of the cessation of death, sorrow, and pain. Is that clear? Huh? If we have a consciousness of truth, then we experience love, the perfection of love, the fulfillment of love. Then in place of everything evil, we have good. This, she says, is indeed a foretaste of absolute Christian science. So she says, we can have already now a foretaste of absolute Christian science. You can't say anymore, before I'm not demonstrating this and that and the other, I cannot do the job. Think of Paul. Think always of Paul. What a terrific job he has done. And he always complained that he had a sting in his flesh. Huh? Say a sting in his flesh. A thorn. In German it is a sting. A thorn in his flesh. Huh? He had a thorn in his flesh. Whatever that was, some people think he was epileptic, the other one thinks something else, but he did a mighty good job. There are many others that are very healthy right from the first day that they are born until they go out of this world. They are just by nature healthy like anything, huh? Strong. Do they do a big job? That is not the case usually. So this is a wonderful sense, you see, that we can do a real good job even if, like Mrs. Eddy, from birth had a very weak body. Very weak body. And others have something, some other weakness, a physical weakness, perhaps a character weakness, something, a weakness in their mood or whatever it was, and so that doesn't detract them from doing a mighty big job, because the material and the moral cannot stop the spiritual. That's the point everyone has to know. So this is indeed the foretaste of absolute. Take heart, dear reader. For this reality of being will surely appear sometime in some way. So again we have that forcible tone of will. It just says that love is forcible and love has a plan, and that love will finally lead everybody into that high state of consciousness. There will be no more pain, and all tears will be wiped away. When you read this, remember Jesus' word, "The kingdom of God is within you." Okay. the unity of love and its idea. This spiritual consciousness, can you see how that he constantly speaks about consciousness? This spiritual consciousness is therefore a present possibility. That's why we need prayer, that's why we need to know what prayer is, so that we know how we can flee away from the world and go into the quietness of the closet and shut the door and be alone with the reality of being. Then when we do that, we really can establish that atmosphere which is can entertain the spiritual consciousness of things, and so we can touch that high reality where we begin to touch that there is no earth and heaven, there is a new heaven and a new earth, and the sea is no more. It's a present possibility. The Revelator also takes in another view, adapted to console the weary pilgrim journeying uphill all the way. She indicates here, really, that the pilgrim, that the student who is engaged in the study of Christian Science, is that weary pilgrim, but he journeys uphill all the way. He never goes downhill. Mrs. Eddy presents, therefore, here in Revelation, or in the Apocalypse, always the ascending way. But not the ascending way as a nice biblical description and a nice picture, but it's an ascending way of categories. It shows how we ascend in the categories, starting with the Word Order, then the Christ Order, then the Christianity Order, then the Science Order, from there going uphill all the way, going up to absolute Christian Science. Later on she shows that uphill way, is reaching divine science and finally science itself. It is so that behind this way is actually reality which has the impact and the impulsion of life. It says, I, life, am going to lead everyone uphill. If he listens to me and if he's geared into the harmony of being, then I lead him uphill all the way. Therefore, our life really should show that we are not going only uphill in getting older and older, and going uphill in getting richer and richer, and going uphill in all those outward signs, but actually we should feel that we go uphill spiritually. That really every 10 years we feel we have grown spiritually, that a new category has opened up, that a new vista has opened up. And that is really the life that is God. Then we live Christian Science. I think we have to get quite a new sense of what it means to live Christian Science. To live Christian Science is not so much to try to live what we think life must be, but to let ourselves be lived by the impact of the divine principle, and that impact of the divine principle leads us the way from one category to the next category to the next category, so that finally we can see that right from the beginning that we touched science, like with the days of creation, that we touched the order of science, that from that point everything grows out of the preceding stage, that it is like a plant that takes first root and then it has, then it grows and comes out of the earth, and then it has a stem, and then it makes knots in the stem, and another stem, and another knot, and finally forms a flower. That is life. That is living Christian Science. That we go or are led the way of the principle interpreting itself through its higher and higher categories. That, to me, is living Christian Science. So, Mrs. Eddy goes on, still in the tone of love, still showing that there is consolation. The next verse is verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues. Now, here we come again to the vials. Here, the revelator now blends back to the vision of Saul. That vision of Saul, which we had taken yesterday, was showing the seven angels with the seven vials full of the seven last plagues. And what they were doing at that point, you remember, were to show how each angel was pouring out a vial and was annihilating a plague. And he was showing that through the inverted word order, that the vial of love would destroy its counterfeit, that the vial of truth would destroy its counterfeit, that the vial of life and principle and soul, spirit, mind would destroy its counterfeit. That was shown as the seven angels with the seven last plague. Now, here, the revelator takes that same vision again, but he now shows a higher method than that method of the inverted word order on the level of Christian Science. He's now on the level of absolute Christian Science, and now he shows how that very same situation could be handled differently. It all depends on your consciousness. Therefore, he had to show here in absolute Christian Science first that all is a matter of consciousness. And if that consciousness is a consciousness of truth, divine consciousness, then that divine consciousness has another method, the method of love. And therefore says, all right, here is an angel, again with the seven vials, full of the seven last plague, but I have another method, namely, I use the method of consciousness, of the one consciousness of truth, then I cannot see any more vial, any more plagues. Then I can't see any more seven plagues. Is that so? At the point of love, you cannot see any more plagues. Love sees what? Love sees only its own idea. So, instead that the angel talked to him and said, go and pour out the vials, he said something very different, because he has now another consciousness, and says, come hither. I show thee what? I show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. I show you the perfect idea. So that the very same situation. It's beautiful how Mrs. Eddy picked out those things. You know, it's just picking out the verse out of the whole chapter by showing what? Shows truth and love. Says, now, look here, everything is a matter of consciousness. It's not a matter of things, of place, person, or things. It's a matter of looking at that thing. How do you look at it? You can look at it from the point of view of a material consciousness, or you can look at it from the point of view of a divine consciousness. If you look at it with a scientific consciousness, with the scientific consciousness of truth, then you can only see what, instead of the seven vials, full of the seven last plagues, you can only see the idea, the bride, the wife of the Lamb, which is a symbol of love, never losing sight of loveliness. Love wedded to its own spiritual idea. And that is always a picture of perfection. Is that clear? How does she explain it? It says, a marginal heading is interesting, vials of wrath. and consolation. So she indicates here, we are still living on this plane of existence, like the John the Revelator. We are still living on that plane where we, with our eyes, we can see the vials of wrath, where we can see the mortal. We are still on that plane, but we have a method where, with which we can find a consolation for that, a compensation for that, namely through truth and love. So she says on line 10, this ministry of truth, this message from divine love, can you see the tone of truth and love? This ministry of truth, if we minister in our consciousness to the truth, then we can hear the message of love. Carried John away in spirit, it exalted him till, can you see again, till, it exalted him till, it's an upward way, till he became conscious, again you have the term conscious, of the spiritual facts of being, of the spiritual facts of being, not of the vials, and the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, the spiritual outpouring of bliss and glory. Do you hear the tone of love? It's a spiritual outpouring of bliss and love. That's the only thing that love can do. Love is always wedded to its own idea, it's never without its manifestation. Therefore, love means, see, love is not the term that does something. Love is a state of consciousness within us that says, I have that state of consciousness where I look out into the world only with that consciousness which entertains the divine consciousness, which entertains ideas and cannot entertain anything else. That's love. Therefore, it's a spiritual outpouring of bliss and glory which he describes. And suddenly he describes that spiritual outpouring as a city which lies four square. The city four square naturally is science. Huh? It's the principle of science. So he not only says that with our consciousness of love, we should only entertain ideas and only project into the universe ideas. Those ideas are always good, are always a blessing, are always a bliss, is always glorious. But it says this would only be a kind of a religious sense of good and blessing. You must have a scientific sense of that idea which you project out, namely the city four square. You must project out categories. The city four square stands for four categories and four levels, because it's the city, the four square city, the city of our God, so stands also for the levels. That is the consciousness of love that you should entertain, that you entertain the calculus and not just single ideas. You must have a consciousness of those categories. Doesn't it become clearer and clearer what the textbook wants to teach? So she says the beauty of this text is that actually the whole sum total of human misery, the seven vials, represented by the seven angelic vials full of the seven plagues, has a full compensation in the law of love. So now we get the compensation. Instead of having a universe of discord, we have suddenly a universe of harmony. In the same universe as before. The universe doesn't change. We change it. We can't wait until the universe changes. Can't wait until people change, until the government changes, until nations change, until politicians change. We can't wait until anything in the universe changes. We have to change it. We change it by looking at it differently. Not by changing it. Most people feel, all right, I'm going to change it. We have to change our consciousness. not the universe. So here she said, change that. Compensate your concept of the seventh place with that bliss and glory of divine science. Then you have another universe. And naturally she knows that every divine consciousness has a Christ. And that Christ begins to work in its own way and begins to change the universe. But we don't have to change the universe. We have to free ourselves of the belief that we have to change the universe. We don't have to change the universe. We have to change consciousness. And let that consciousness have a Christ. And that Christ knows a million times better what is to be changed, when it has to be changed, in which way it has to be changed, through which channel it has to be changed, so that we should not interfere with the working of the idea. But when the idea begins to change, we should go along with it. That's the practice of it. We should go along with it. And what she shows here as the change is that she says, and that idea is the city foursquare. Have a love that is scientific, that is thinking in categories of the seven and the four and the four. Then you have your New Jerusalem. Paul was always impressed by that New Jerusalem. He called New Jerusalem, he called the mother of us all. And nobody really could understand what Paul was talking when he was talking about the New Jerusalem, that city that was there in Jerusalem on a mountain and had terrific walls. And he was saying, but the New Jerusalem is the mother of us all. What he meant is really here, that the idea of love as New Jerusalem is the mother of us all. That it needs that womanhood sense, that motherhood sense that says, from the standpoint of love, I only see the bliss and glory of being. That's the New Jerusalem. And it's the mother of us all. Only in this way can we mother the universe. Well, that was a side remark from Paul. But Mrs. Eddy says here, note this, that the very message or swift-winged thought which poured forth hatred and torment, that's the seven vials, the seven last plagues, that this very thought, message, brought also the experience which at last, again at last, there is a way, lifted, it goes always upward, lifted the seer to behold the great city. So, Mrs. Eddy could see everything is directed to just one great aim, to understand that city. The whole Bible, so to say, is a story of Abraham going out and he was looking for a city, the Hebrew says. Goes out to find that city. And they tried to find that city until first they built the city, the material symbol in the of Jerusalem. But still they were not satisfied and could see that there must be another, a new Jerusalem, a spiritual city. And Jesus was telling, really, the revelator what that city is. That it is a spiritual city. And so let's try to find that city and see what it means. So it says, to behold that great city, the four equal sides of which are heaven bestowed and heaven bestowing. Wonderful. They have both aspects, that they are from heaven, that it is not from people, not made by mortals, but that it is a divine idea, that city. It's heaven bestowed, but it's also heaven bestowing. It demonstrates itself. So we'll see as we go on that really the apocalypse is showing first how we ascend in consciousness to the point where we reach the divine city, where we begin to understand what the city foursquare is, and then that city begins to express itself by being heaven bestowing and translates itself as demonstration to the necessities of our plane of thought and our plane of existence. So that's the point where absolute Christian science comes to an end here. Naturally, it is very difficult sometimes for a writer like Mrs. Eddy to always write about one category and say, now I make a new paragraph, I come now to the next category. These things flow into each other, they blend into each other, just as we have seen in this paragraph that we have been reading. There she was fundamentally talking about absolute Christian science, about the point of truth and love, but was already taking in the view to where it will lead to the new Jerusalem. But that new Jerusalem actually is only a symbol that is adapted to divine science. But on the way to it, actually she had to talk quickly about the new Jerusalem, and that it is the new city towards which every development is directed. So now we come to divine science,